Hey everyone, it's Colin. How's it going? It's finally here. Let's talk about the launch of the SNES Classic. So after months of anticipation, finally this console was released at the very tail end of September 2017. And it's been quite a road to get to this point. Of course, we know some of how all of it was going to work based on previous experience with the NES Classic. We just kind of knew that certain things were going to repeat themselves. We knew, for example, that there were going to be very limited quantities for the unit. And we also had a feeling as to exactly how it was going to work and what the experience was going to be like. But that, of course, didn't really affect the demand or anticipation for the SNES version of this console at all. If anything, it maybe amped it up a bit. I feel like there are a lot of people who preferred the SNES over the original console, and you know, in some ways, I can agree with them. There are a lot of just really well-loved games for that platform, many of which were included in the SNES Classic console. But Nintendo also kept, unfortunately, some of the bad things from the NES Classic launch and then added a few new wrinkles on top of that. This story begins in late June, when suddenly, late one evening, Walmart opened up pre-orders for the console. They didn't announce it. In fact, there had been no announcement as to exactly when pre-orders would start going up for it, yet Walmart made the console available for sale. And as you'd expect, a lot of people jumped on that and started to try to get their orders in. Some people were successful in doing so. Other people encountered system errors and timeouts, and they'd get the console in their cart, but when they'd try to check out, it would disappear. Just craziness like that. And I only found out about it the following morning because it happened really late at night, and honestly, I was in bed asleep. But something didn't feel quite right about that whole situation, especially with there being absolutely no announcement ahead of time saying, you know, this is what was going to be going down. And especially with the number of errors and how quickly the item got pulled, it left people kind of questioning what really happened here. Well, sure enough, a couple of days later, after a few people's orders had been canceled, but others stayed around, Walmart finally owned up and said the pre-order was a mistake and it was canceling all of the pre-orders from that evening. Now, whether it was really a mistake or whether Walmart intentionally jumped the gun to try and get those sales going and Nintendo caught wind and said, hey, yo, what's going on here? And, you know, Walmart sheepishly had to come up with a story as to, you know, placate people. I don't know. We still don't know exactly what happened with that, you know, botched initial pre-order, but that, unfortunately, was just the tip of the iceberg for pre-orders in general, at least as far as my experience. So after that whole debacle with Walmart came and went, Nintendo announced, okay, we know you guys are really, really looking forward to this console. We're going to make pre-orders available in late August 2017. And then, you know, the console is actually going to ship in late September 2017, right? So we knew actual launch day in September, but Nintendo never said anything about the specific pre-order day or date or anything in August. It just said late August and left it at that with absolutely no follow-up after that. And unfortunately, what happened was that day was August 22nd and nobody knew it. So at about midnight or like really late in kind of the middle of the night on August 22nd, Best Buy's pre-orders go up. They didn't tell anyone in advance. They didn't warn anybody. There weren't any press releases. There was absolutely no communication, as far as I can tell, about when that pre-order was going to go up ahead of time. It was literally just people found it while surfing the site and started telling everyone they knew. And of course, when you get a whole bunch of people piling on a pre-order like that, they're going to have system problems. So Best Buy's site suffered pretty much the same fate as Walmart's, where people were struggling to get the site to load. They had problems getting the item in their cart or checking out, or they'd get it in the cart, but then, you know, some glitch would happen when they were trying to put in their credit card number or whatever. And it caused massive amounts of frustration. Twitter just basically blew up. And again, I didn't know about it because it was the middle of the night. And so I'm catching up on Twitter the next morning and I'm like, geez, what the hell happened here? Well, that was just the beginning for that day. It turns out August 22nd was pre-order day for all of the suppliers, at least here in the US. And I should back up a moment and note that all of this experience that I have is, you know, based on my knowledge of what's going on in the US. I know other countries had pre-orders that went up at different times, and it seems like some of those were more successful than others. So be sure to shout out down in the comments below your experience if you live both in or outside the US. I think it'd be really interesting to hear where it worked and where it didn't work and what everyone's experiences were. But on August 22nd, Best Buy's pre-orders came and went, and then throughout the day, other pre-orders go live on the different sites that sell it. So Amazon and Walmart and Target, they all go live at staggered times during the day. But again, with no warning in advance to tell anybody that it was going to be happening. And so it was like this domino effect where, okay, if you didn't get a pre-order in from Best Buy, then you're going to jump on the next one. And unfortunately, I can't remember the order in which all of these stores set up their pre-orders. I remember Target was one of the later ones, so it was either Amazon first and Walmart second or vice versa. But basically, you know, a site would make the pre-order go live and they would just get absolutely crushed and people would freak out on Twitter. And then a few hours later, the next site would go and do the same thing. And it was, you know, my time here in Minneapolis, about 1 p.m, I'd like to say, when Target's pre-orders went live. And that was one that I managed to catch very quickly because, and I'll get to this topic in a second, because I was busy otherwise, right? So I managed to catch pretty early on during the pre-orders, you know, hey, Target's gone live, try and get one in. And when I went to the site to try and order it, it said, you know, go ahead, click your button, you know, click the button, you can place an order. But every time I'd try to click that button to add one to the cart, it would come back and say, you know, no stock available. So the site, you know, the product page for the SNES Classic itself said, yeah, go ahead, pre-order it. But every time you'd try, it would just say, yeah, we're sold out effectively. And the last store that I can recall setting up pre-orders during the, you know, that day was GameStop, and their pre-orders went live, you know, sometime I'd like to say in the early afternoons, but their catch was they would do them in store only. So you had to physically go to a GameStop store to set up a pre-order, which, okay, that keeps your website from getting crushed. But here's the crux of the way this whole day shaped out. It was a weekday. A lot of people during the weekday are at this place called work, right? And a lot of people work all day on a weekday. And in general, people's employers don't like them screwing around on their computers all day trying to buy stuff, you know, for their own personal use. I can tell you my employer generally wants me to actually do work, you know, for the company. So I didn't really have the ability to sit there and hound all of these sites and keep trying to gather as much information as I could literally all day to try and get a pre-order in. And I feel that's the way it was with a lot of people. And then the icing on the cake was the whole GameStop. You have to physically go to a store to pre-order things. So it's like, okay, fine. I wasn't able to sit in front of my computer and try and get one of these. You know, there's a great opportunity. Let's go to GameStop. Maybe I can swing by there. You know, maybe their pre-orders would, you know, be available at, you know, 7 in the evening or whatever. You know, maybe they would rig it up so that it would be as people are getting out of work. They could swing by GameStop on the way home, line up, get in line, you know, place a pre-order, move on from there. But no, theirs went live early afternoon as well. So basically, if you weren't, you know, at a store in the early afternoon, you weren't going to get one. Well, again, sorry, I was at work, man. And I think a lot of people's, you know, work or business or boss is going to be like that. So the overall feeling from pre-order day of the SNES Classic was just massive amounts of frustration. Thankfully, Nintendo seems to have turned that around a bit on launch day. So we knew quantities were going to be limited, but Nintendo kept saying over and over, no, we're going to try and make more available in stores on launch day than from the NES Classic, because they knew NES Classic launch was just a disaster. They kept saying over and over, we're going to make more available. You know, we're going to try and have a bunch of them available on launch day. And a lot of people are like, yeah, yeah, Nintendo, whatever. You know, we've heard this from you before and you usually lie to us. It usually ends up being underwhelming, whatever. But people still got out there and lined up. Thankfully, I feel at least that launch day went a lot better this time around. And I've been hearing from people, fans on Twitter and, you know, various, you know, news articles and blog posts and everything, that quantities really were much better in stores. My wife ended up actually picking up my SNES Classic because, again, you know, I got to be at work and I couldn't really take the day off to just wait in line to buy a video game console. Thankfully, my wife had some flexibility with her schedule, so she did it. I owe her one greatly, although she's going to play this as much as I will. She's a fan of it too. But she went to the exact same store that I went to, well, just about a year ago now when I got my NES Classic. And I still feel incredibly lucky that I got that NES Classic because that store had only 6 of the NES Classic a year ago on launch day, right? They literally just got one box, that's it. And the store staff had no idea what was going on. They didn't know why people were lining up out front before the store opened. It was humorous and very stressful at the same time. This time around, though, my wife tells me that the store had their act together much, much better. The employees had actually been told what was going on that day. They knew how to handle people in line. They knew how to make that checkout process more efficient. And the biggest thing was, remember, 6 NES Classics, you know, about a year ago when that product launched, my wife told me that the store employee said they got 26 of these at their store. And that's about the right proportion when you compare that to the numbers that I've seen and heard from other people. People who said that their, you know, Target or Best Buy or Walmart or wherever got, you know, maybe dozens of the NES Classic, you know, maybe 24, maybe 30 or so of the NES Classic back then. Those people are now telling me that their store had sometimes 50, sometimes 80. I've even heard reports of one store having over 150 SNES Classics available on launch day. And what's more, while people lined up, even people who got in line right before the store opened, so they're pretty far back in that line, I heard a lot of reports of people who showed up right before the store opened still being able to get one. So this wasn't one of those kinds of products where you had to be there like the night before, you know, waiting all night in the cold, in the dark to get one. It sounded like it was much more accessible. Now, of course, they sold out. They sold out. I heard plenty of reports of people showing up half an hour to an hour after the store opened and being told, yeah, sorry, you know, we don't have any more. They were gone pretty much right away. But at least Nintendo did hold up to its word and that there were a lot more of these consoles available on launch day this time around. Now, on a personal note, I'm not going to necessarily let Nintendo off the hook. I still think this whole, you know, artificially limited quantities thing is BS, and I don't agree with it. And I wish they would stop doing it because, you know, they kind of need to make money as a company. And selling these is a great way to do it. And case in point, you've probably heard Nintendo is bringing the NES Classic back summer of 2018. So we may see repeats of this console. Who knows? Maybe, you know, next fall, the fall 2018 or spring of 2019 or whatever, the SNES Classic will make a reappearance as well. But overall, things I feel are better this time around. Certainly not, you know, a case where absolutely everyone is happy from the results. But overall, I think there is a lot less hate this time around, and also a lot less fuel potentially for scalpers to be going and selling these for ridiculous markups. I know there are people doing it, but hopefully, because enough people who wanted one of these managed to get one, and there's also going to be more of these coming available through the end of 2017 and potentially into early 2018, hopefully that market will get stomped down a bit. Now, switching gears just a little bit, but still on the topic of the SNES Classic, I'm not going to bother to do a review of this console. I didn't do one of the NES Classic either, just because it's so highly anticipated, and Nintendo seeded review units out to professional journalists prior. There's enough information out here on this console as it is. But I wanted to take a couple of minutes to talk about my overall impressions of this console, and then a few interesting bits of information that we've learned since its release. Of course, it's just a mini version of the SNES, and Nintendo, as Nintendo typically does, did a really good job with the physical construction of this thing. It looks spot on for what it's trying to replicate. The power and reset switches on the front behave the same way they do on the original console. The eject button doesn't do anything, which is too bad, but kind of expected. On the back, you've got the familiar HDMI output and USB, you know, micro USB for power input. And then what Nintendo did on the front for the controller ports is they've got this little flip-down door to cover the two ports. They are the same style of connector as was used on the Nunchuck, like, you know, the tail end of the Wii remote. That was also used for the NES Classic controller, and I have been told that the NES Classic controller will work on this console, so it's all interchangeable. As for the SNES controller itself, Nintendo also did a really good job with these. They feel pretty much identical to the original. I mean, there may be a very slight change in the button feel, but in some ways I can't help but wonder if that's because this one is brand new and all of the ones that we compare this one against, the original ones, are well over 20 years old now, you know, so maybe they've just worn a bit. But in any event, they did a really good job on the hardware of this thing. And likewise with the software, it's a very similar experience. The menu looks and feels the same. Some small features added here and there. Of course, they've got the same save state thing, but they've also got the ability for you to go back in time, you know, a little bit if you want to redo a section like before you died or whatever to kind of pick up where you left off. They've got that ability added in there. It's just, you know, it's a very similar experience, but it just fits together really nicely. Some things that we've learned about this console since its release. A teardown, and I have not taken mine apart yet, and I probably won't, but of course people have already taken these apart. They've done teardowns on them, and people have found that the circuit board inside is almost identical to that of the NES Classic. At the very least, it definitely uses the same chipset. Some of the photos that I've seen really just show that it's a very slight difference in some of the connectors, like the connector on the board that goes to the controller ports on the front, because these controller ports are not wired directly to that circuit board. They're not, like, you know, right angle soldered onto the board. They're connected to the board with a short little wiring harness. So I've seen that, you know, that connector is slightly different, that sort of thing. But overall, the chipset is identical. It's the same CPU. It's the same, you know, amount of flash, all that kind of stuff. And what's really curious is that people are going to want to hack these. And people figured out how to hack the original NES Classic, you know, in relatively short order after its release. On launch day, somebody took an SNES Classic and used the same piece of software called HackChi 2. And surprisingly enough, found that it worked. They were able to use the NES Classic tool that people had just kind of homebrew written to that I think it was an exploit, a software exploit that people found and took advantage of in the NES Classic. That same tool works out of the box on the SNES Classic. So like day one, we had a ROM dump of that console. Now, you know, Nintendo using the same hardware, that makes a lot of sense. That, you know, that all winter brand CPU, which is, I believe, an ARM core, it's got plenty of power to drive the menus and to play these 16-bit games. There was really no reason for Nintendo to respin that board, to put anything substantially different on it. They already had something that worked really well. But why Nintendo didn't try to prevent the same exploit or, you know, path or whatever, why Nintendo didn't bother to shut down the ability to get into the software on this thing is really curious to me. And as best I can guess, you know, as best I can think, there are really three possible reasons as to why Nintendo did it. The first one is that Nintendo simply didn't know that people were hacking the NES Classic and that they would want to hack this one. And that's very, very unlikely, especially in light of something I'll get to in a moment. So I think we can pretty safely rule out that Nintendo doesn't know that this is going on. The second thing I can think of is Nintendo's not capable of fixing it. Either they don't have the tools or the knowledge, or the mechanism used to get into the software on this thing through that tool, that software tool, you know, it's so low level that Nintendo would have to completely re-engineer the console in order to eliminate it. You know, some technical or personnel reason as to why Nintendo just can't do it. I think that is possible, but I don't think it's that likely. The third thing I can think of is that Nintendo knows and just doesn't care, or it's not that big of a priority to the company. It maybe realizes that just a relatively small percentage of people are going to do it, and so what, right? Well, if you think about that, you know, I guess in some ways from a business perspective, it makes sense. I mean, why respin that entire board just to eliminate this one little thing that probably not that many people are doing? But at the same time, in recent months, Nintendo's been going around and issuing takedown notices for sites that host its ROMs. A lot of places on the internet that offer, you know, open access to Nintendo ROMs, classic games, they've been getting notifications that they need to take those down. You know, whether they're DMCA takedown requests or legal threats from Nintendo or whatever, these ROMs have started to disappear, at least openly, from these very, you know, obvious blatant ROM download kind of sites. So, you know, in light of Nintendo trying to protect its intellectual property, why would it leave something like this open? Well, in doing a little bit of research for this episode and reading a little bit more about, you know, the hacking community getting into this console and all that, I read that someone, when going through that ROM dump, the file system and everything, found something really interesting. In the Etsy folder of the file system on this thing, there is a simple little file. And that text file contains this. The phrase, "Enjoy this mini, disconnect from the present, and go back to the 90s. The location of that file and its format and everything doesn't suggest that it's a system file that would ever get used or called in the user UI, you know, like when you hook the thing up to a TV. It's pretty clear that that's a little Easter egg that the software developers at Nintendo left in the file system for people to find when going through this thing's firmware. So a lot of questions remain, let's say, about what's going on with this. You know, is it the business people want to shut this down, but the software developers either want to encourage it or don't care? Who knows? Who knows what's going on with that? But I do find it really interesting. If you are, you know, planning or already have one of these SNES classics, just like with the NES Classic, in the very least, it doesn't seem all that difficult to go and add more ROM files of your own to it. So you can put even more games on here. Maybe some of your favorites are missing, whatever. It's pretty much the exact same scenario as before. But the real question of why, I think we're going to be wondering for quite a while. As a final note, one of the major drivers for people wanting to get the firmware off of the SNES Classic was Star Fox 2. That was a game that was never released and never really even leaked in its final completed form as it is on this console. Buying an SNES Classic, at the time I'm filming this at least, is the only way to get a legit copy of that game to be able to play it. Well, of course, as you would expect, since it exists in software and people got a firmware dump off that console, of course, that ROM has now been leaked to the internet so you can download it and play it. I'm not going to make much of a commentary here about piracy and all of that. All I can say is that I'm content having a physical release of this, you know, actually owning this device that I can use to play that game on. And I don't really plan on downloading the ROM to play on any other devices. Having it on here is good enough for me. So with that, I am curious, of course, as I always am, about your thoughts. As I asked earlier, you know, how did pre-orders and everything go where you live? What's your experience with that? How did launch day go for you? Did you get one? Are you still waiting for it to show up? You know, maybe you ordered one and it's taking forever in the mail. Did you miss out? Do you have a really unfortunate story about trying to get one and striking out? Are you going to go back again? Are you going to try and get another one? And then also, of course, what's your overall experience with the console so far if you got one? Do you like it? Do you think it's worth the additional cost over the NES Classic? This thing's $80 now. That's a bit more expensive than the previous console. Just leave all your thoughts down in the comments below. Of course, as always, I just ask that you keep it civil. So, if you like this episode, I would appreciate a thumbs up. Be sure to subscribe if you haven't already. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at ThisDoesNotComp. And as always, thanks for watching.